My dear brothers and sisters, it's so good to be with you here at this conference. I bring you greetings from the saints in Snydertown and for that other camp called Mountain View Bible Camp, not Ocean View, but Mountain View. We live right near that camp, and we've had long relations there. Brother Brian has referred to it before. As I look out over the audience, there are so many familiar faces. It's been a great joy to work together over the years in many different places and many different ways, and we just thank God for what He has granted in the way of joy in serving Him over the years. What a blessing it's been and continues to be. My task this afternoon is to talk about home Bible studies. We've heard numbers of times during this conference about the home, about our wives, about our families, about our children, and the home. If we're going to be effective in the work of the Lord, things must be right at home. That's where it begins. That's where we live. And that's where the work goes out from, the home. Brother Mayhew, some years ago, spoke on two cities of refuge. One, the home. And two, the assembly. Cities of refuge. And those should be places where we can be in comfort, in harmony, in joy, and blessing, the home. But you know, those good things that we have in our homes, yes, we want to enjoy them for ourselves there. But you know, when you have something good, you can't keep it to yourself, right? When you hear some good news, what do you have to do? Have to share it, right? And the home should be the place from which emanates the good news of the people that live in that home. I think of the early believers in Acts chapter 2. Where did the work of the Lord begin? Oh yes, it began with that 3,000 coming to the Lord. But in Acts 2:46, we read that they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking their bread from house to house. House to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The home. The home is such an important place. And to have a wife that's by our side, a wife that shares in the interests of the Lord and makes the home a place where the Lord's interests are maintained. What a joy that is. And these early believers started at home. Yes, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Samaria, Judea, out to the uttermost parts of the world, but starts at home. And our homes should be the base, you know, the point from which we reach out. And some of us may reach out a little further from our homes, but all of us, I trust, have a home, and we want to make it a good home and an inviting home. I think of Simon Peter in Acts 10, where we have the story of Cornelius. He had been in a home of Simon the Tanner. In Acts 10, verse 6, when Cornelius was given instructions where to go for help that he needed, he could send men to Joppa in verse 5 and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea. Here was a house right on the sea coast. And I like to think of that as a house, as the sea speaks to the nations. That house was the interface between the land and the sea. There would be a way to reach out far from that house. Well, Cornelius was instructed to send someone to that house, to a man who was only temporarily there. That was Peter. He's lodging in the house of one Simon the Tanner, and he's going to tell you what you must do. And so the good news of the gospel came to the Gentiles there. And then we find that Cornelius invited Peter to come to his own house. And verse 30. Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, at the ninth hour, and I prayed in my house. There he was, at home, right in his house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon the Tanner by the sea. And when he comes, will speak unto you. So I sent immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore we're all present before God to hear the things commanded you by God. So here Simon, or Cornelius, had gathered his family and maybe some friends. They were together, they were waiting in their home. And I think the home is a wonderful place to study the Word of God. I grew up in a home like that. My parents were saved when I was about 6 years old by an itinerant gospel preacher who began from the area in which we lived but reached out. Some of you may remember the name called Louis Crook. And he traveled in Alaska and many other places and began pioneer work like Brother Brian was describing. Well, in our home, we lived this way. And my father was one who loved to go and have home Bible studies. We would go from this house to that house, and if there was an interest, we kept coming. When the interest dried up, there were other places to go. There was never a lack of homes to go to share the Word of God. And so I grew up in that environment. And it's wonderful to have our homes, to be homes like that. I think of others too who used their homes. When Peter was in prison and when he was let go in Acts 12, where did he go? Acts 12, verse 12. He had been released from those chains in prison. The doors opened and let him out. And where did he go? He went, when he considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Now, not only Bible study, but your home is a good place for prayer, to meet, to pray about specific needs, to pray about things that we're really concerned about. As Peter knocked at the door, at the gate, the Rhoda came to answer it, and it was Peter's voice and so on, and they welcomed Peter into the house. The home. I think of, in Acts 16, we'll only look at a few verses where the homes are mentioned. There'll be many, many more. But in Acts 16, verse 15, Lydia, when they came there, and they met her there by the riverside, and she says in verse 15, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Isn't that nice? There was a place for the apostle to come and those with him, come to my house. Open your house up. Make it available to the saints, to the work of the Lord. In that same chapter, we have the Philippian jailer. After they had been released from jail, after the earthquake, the Philippian jailer took them. They had been beaten, but he took them to his home. Verse 32. And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. There was a home open for the word of God. Well, we could go on many, many other verses, but I think the home should be a quiet place, a city of refuge, but a place where others can come. Now, we live our personal lives in our home. That's important, to have a personal relationship with our wives, husbands, with our children. But it's also a place to bring others in. We're thankful that we still have our big house. We're thinking shortly of selling it because we can't take care of it anymore. It's too big. But when our children are home, they were able to bring their friends to our home. We would rather have them meet in our home than have our children somewhere else. It was always a joy to have the house full of young people and friends of the children. Because when they're in our home, we know what's going on. We can supervise them. We can, in various ways, present the Lord to those who come into our homes. And we're thankful that our home has been the place where many young people have come. And when we travel around the country, we have a number of young men and a few young ladies that call us mom and dad. Well, we're not their biological mom and dad, but, you know, it's just kind of a relationship that has developed, and this has happened in our home as we've shared together. And it's a place, too, that we can reach out. A home is a place where we pray together, we read the Word of God together, we consider the interests of the Lord, but it's the base from which we reach out. And, you know, you can reach out further than you think. Nowadays, with travel and internet and Facebook, I don't know anything about Facebook. I don't have time for Facebook, sorry. But anyway, there are so many ways to communicate nowadays, but we can do these things from our home. And there are opportunities that are abounding worldwide. And we can lift up our eyes and look. The fields are white to harvest. White to harvest. But the homes are the important part. I've just come back from Africa, just a few days before coming here. And I'm thankful for what God is doing in homes. People are receiving literature. I don't know how they get it. Don't know where it comes from. We know who published it because it's got a name on it. You know, whether it's GBV in Germany or whether it's Chapter 2 or whether it's Grace and Truth or Believer's Bookshelf or whatever. You know, we know that where it emanated from, but how it got where it got, we have no idea. But somehow, those truths in the Word of God are being treasured. And they say, wow, where is there someone who meets according to this principle? And so we go, we look up these people. Where? In their homes. Now, it may be a mud hut. It may be a place way out in the bush where you thought you're going to fall off the end of the earth, you know, getting there because the roads are so bad going in there. You think you've got bad roads in Jamaica? Well, you haven't seen anything yet. But, you know, there you find someone in their home. And you open the scriptures. They're full of questions. And you open the scriptures and, you know, you just simply open what the scripture teaches. But you do it in their homes. And you know, they just are like sponges. But the home is the place to do that. It's a place of quietness. It's a place of security. It's private. It's neutral. You know, it's hard to get people in to the meeting rooms. I don't know what you're finding in the islands, but I think you're struggling with the same thing. You invite people to come to the meeting rooms, not many will come. Unless there's a crisis and they have some great personal need or something, maybe then they will be persuaded to come and seek some help, but it's pretty rare to get someone into the meeting room. But if you go to them with something interesting, something appealing, the joy of the Lord, Brian said we just have to present Christ. Just live for Christ. Just the joy of the Lord is your strength, as we have in Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And we do this from home to home. Meet people where they are. Non-threatening environment, and just be with them where they are. It's a good place to answer questions. You know, people have many questions nowadays. But the Word of God has the answer to every question. It's just a matter of depending upon the Spirit of God to lead us to the right portion of Scripture at the right moment for the need of that heart. But the answers are all here. And the Spirit of God is able to take this living Word of God and make it good to every heart for every need. But we have to be willing to do it. It takes time, right? Some of us, you know, we have a tendency to get too busy. Now, I know, even in the Lord's work, we can get too busy. Too many things to do. But it's important sometimes to just sit quietly. Maybe in our chair. Just sit there with the Word of God before us and just meditate. Just, you know, enjoy the Word for ourselves. But it's also good to just say, where can we be used today? Where can we go? Our neighborhood is full of people. Our villages are full of people. There are needy people there. And we can invite them to our homes. Maybe we can invent some kind of a social event, whatever it is. Bring people in, but share the Word of God. And I think, again, I just want to say that the home is to be that city of refuge. May it be that our homes are quiet homes, not agitated, you know. If we're too busy, you know, we kind of come home and we collapse and get a short sleep and get up and charge off the next morning. Maybe that's something we want to try to avoid. But make our homes quiet homes, but places where people are welcome. And you know, a lot of that work is going to fall on the sisters. Sisters, some say, what can we do for the Lord? Well, I tell you, there's no place like home. And the sister is the heart of the home. Sisters, you are the heart. The real binding tie of the family is the sister in the home, the wife. And if you're going to have an effective outreach from your home, that home, the demeanor and the atmosphere in that home is dependent largely upon what the wife does and how she lives and how the children react in the home. You know, the mothers have a tremendous influence on children. We all know that. But we just need to be reminded. But the Lord can use these homes. And the Lord uses many, many homes in the Scriptures to be the rallying point. I think of Priscilla and Aquila. They had to move from place to place because of persecution. But everywhere they went, as far as I can tell, the assembly was in their home. They had a place, a room, whatever it was, maybe not a very big one, but a place where the saints could come. Paul worked with them as a tent maker, making tents. But they did this in the home. And then as they counseled together, they shared the Scriptures as they worked, and it was a place of blessing. Even an Apollos could come. You know, he didn't know much. He knew, he certainly was preaching what he knew, but they would take him to their house and instruct him in the way of the Lord in their home. And I think, dear brothers and sisters, we might all be reminded to make our homes more available to the needy ones around us. It's a wonderful place. We've enjoyed staying in the homes of the saints. You know, we travel around the world. We've stayed in many homes. Occasionally, we do have to stay in a motel because there's no room in the homes. Some of these poor villages are just physically no room to stay there. But wherever we can, we like to stay in a home. Be it ever so humble. Doesn't matter. A mud hut is a place where they live. If they live there all their life, why can't we stay there a few days or a few weeks in that same environment? You know, it's okay. When I grew up in northern Wisconsin, we didn't have the amenities that we do now. Didn't have electricity till I was in the sixth grade. No indoor plumbing until I was through college. And when we lived in Wisconsin, it got cold up there in the wintertime, 40 below zero. So we had to go up to that trip on that little building out behind the house, you know. You didn't stay there very long. You did what you had to do and you came back in. In the summertime, the mosquitoes were too bad, so you didn't stay there long either. So, but, you know, these were the conditions I grew up under. So, you know, if you go to the mission field, don't be afraid to rough it a little bit. That's okay. But it's the homes. It's the homes of the ones that we find there. If they can live there, why can't we be there for a few days or even a few weeks if necessary? Or longer if the Lord would call us there. But it's the homes. And that's where we reach people. That's where they live. And that's the way, you know, the Lord has chosen. We are part of a family. We've got a home that we're going to. Now that home, I can't tell you what it's like. It's going to be wonderful to be there. It's going to be prepared for us and we for it. But we're going to be there with Him in the Father's house at home. But the homes down here should be a little reflection of that home to come. May we make our homes that kind of a home. So, dear brothers and sisters, I just encourage each one of us to use our homes. And there's no one way to use our home for a Bible study. No formula that you give. You just be natural. You just be with the people. Invite people into your home. Just share the Word of God and be enthused about it. Be excited about it. And it's contagious. And it's something that I encourage. Well, I'm going to turn it open for discussion now, but I encourage each one of us to use our homes for home Bible study, prayer meetings, special events, get the saints together, encourage each other as believers, but let's reach out to those about us. Reach out to the lost. Reach out to our neighbors, our friends. Make new friends. Make them welcome in your home and introduce them to the Lord. And help ground the saints in the home. Our homes can be a real beacon, and I know many of them are, and I'm just encouraging all of us to make a special effort to continue to use our homes for the Lord.
I think we heard the principles that we shouldn't have rules how to conduct a Bible study, to be natural and to use opportunity which the Lord brings our ways. I would like to add another example, particularly for sisters who have found their place in the homes and don't go out to work. We find that there's a possibility of having a breakfast with other ladies of the neighborhood. Invite them over to your house, say, look, we're going to have breakfast. All the men have gone to work and we're going to have breakfast, a nice breakfast together, and then you open the Bible and we have a discussion. So there's many different opportunities. For sisters in such a circle, it's nothing wrong. You know, they teach other sisters or other ladies or spread the gospel in such a way. And I think we should not forget the importance of having a home Bible study with your children. You know, don't leave it up to the Sunday school teacher, to the young people's meetings. There should be a Bible study in your own home. And that puts something on you as fathers and me as father to be equipped, to be able to teach whatever age our children are. We're growing with them and we have to adjust the home Bible study according to their age.
Number two. It's interesting to note that all the verses that our brother read are from the book of Acts. It is a book for action. And here we have a guide from those who have lived before us as to some of the things that we can use to serve the Lord. And if our homes cannot be available for the Lord to be used in some ways to serve Him, then what's the purpose? I know we did not talk about vehicles. I also like to add that we also need to make our vehicles available as well. Sometimes you might have to pick up individuals to bring to your homes for the occasions. And if it is too good for others to, for me to share it with others, then as one brother liked to say, the Lord might just blow on it. But just a point here, that the verses that were read, they are all from the book of Acts. It's a book of action, and we would do well to really take note that there were those who opened their homes for the service of the Lord.
Just in relation to this and the fact that many homes are mentioned in the book of Acts, let me just mention the following. We have another home in chapter 18, and that is a home where we have really a nice example that it was a home for Bible study. We read there in verse 24 about Apollos, who came to Ephesus, and at Ephesus there was a couple devoted really to the work of the Lord, Aquila and Priscilla. And we read verse 25, he was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in his spirit, he spoke and taught exactly the things concerning Jesus, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And Aquila and Priscilla, having heard him, took him to them, and unfolded to him the way of God more exactly. That happened really in their home. And I would like to underline also for your personal study, the book of Acts is written with order. Luke is writing with order. And there's a spiritual progress when you go from the first to the second and to the third missionary journey. And it's very interesting to study how the Word of God unfolds to us the spiritual progress. And in relation to the third missionary journey, the main point is that the believers have to get established. That's the point where the journey starts in verse 23. Paul is leaving again Antioch, going to different areas with the purpose to establish all the believers. But before the Spirit of God carries on to tell us about the details of the missionary journey, what do we find? A little picture how believers get established. And that happened in a house, in the home of Aquila and Priscilla. Even a gifted man like Apollos, he was told there the way of God more exactly. I say this also for our encouragement, that we use our homes really for this purpose, to unfold the way of God more exactly. That's a place where questions can be more easily asked and answered, also for the young people. And I trust also you make this experience in the home, to open the scriptures and to do as this couple did, Aquila and Priscilla, unfold the way of God more exactly, also for the young people, so that they get really established.
We see also in the book of Titus 2, the opportunity even for aged women, as is mentioned there, that aged women likewise, that they be in good behavior, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober-minded, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And so many things can be taught even by women in this setting where it's more informal, and vital things that pertain even to the truth, to the Word of God, so that our behavior would be of such that it would testify to the doctrine, and that the Word of God would not be blasphemed. And it says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, and so on. All these things can be taught in the home.
I just want to say this for the ladies' sake. I just want to clarify this, because the ladies who sit in silent, plenty do not understand this. Paul to the Corinthians, see, if they want to know anything, to ask their husband at home. Some of the ladies say, well, I don't have any husband, so who shall I ask? Sometimes they explain, but they still don't understand. Could you clarify this for me? Could you clarify this statement for me?
It's just the thought of the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 12, where he was at home, in the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And it's so important that the Lord Jesus should be at home, in our home, and also a place where we see that Martha and Mary's home was a place of fellowship, a place where the Lord Jesus, he says, he sat at the table with Lazarus, who sat with him, who was dead, and Martha, who served, a place where service can be for the Lord. And we know in the book of Acts, which was being shared by the dear brother and others, where others who went from house to house eating their meat with gladness and breaking bread, were worshipped also. And this was done in the house of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, a place of fellowship where brethren, where saints can come and fellowship. You know, sometimes we as brothers and sisters, we go some strange place to fellowship. But some of us have some house and homes where we can come and fellowship and have a good time, and where we can also serve one another, and even a time of worship, and really give that which is due unto the Lord.
In 1 Corinthians.
Yes. There was the adjusting of disorder, setting up of order, particularly in an assembly meeting setting. And so it was not a contradiction for when the assembly came together, the women were told not to speak. You can ask your questions outside of that assembly meeting. That question came up yesterday, as a matter of fact, when the questions about sisters asking questions concerning the work of the Lord. There's a discussion, should they be allowed to ask or not? The clarification was, the setting is not an assembly meeting, so they could. If the sister does not have a husband, at least you may have a father, brother, brothers in the assembly, you can ask anyone from whom you can get the answer. But the restriction there was, in establishing order in the assembly, that the sisters be quiet.
Yeah, I've seen cases where sometimes a brother may minister the word and a sister may have a question, and so she may choose after the ministry to ask the brother, or so on a one-to-one basis, and get her question answered.
So now, the word husband there really is better translated menfolk. So that if the sister doesn't have a husband, she can ask her grandfather, her father, her uncle, her granduncle. So that's really his explanation. If she doesn't have a husband, she can ask any man who is a believer, who is a brother in the meeting, she can ask, because it really means menfolk.
Oh, it's not on. Okay, now it's on. There's a verse in Psalm 68, just part of a verse. Psalm 68, verse 6. God sets the solitary in families. I think this is a very important concept. Every one of us need to be part of a family. Even if someone is converted, an individual sister, we need to find a way that that person is part of a family. That's so important. And our homes are where the families live. And if we see someone that's lonely, where is the place to take care of them? In our families, in our homes. And often we had in the verse in Titus, the older sisters to teach the younger. You do that in their homes. And younger sisters and others that don't have husbands, or widows, whatever, find a home. Or make your home, if you have a home, a place where others can be. But don't be alone. There are answers to every question, and there's help available, but it's often in the home. Psalm 68, verse 6.
We know that there, every child of God is a brother or a sister. But among us, I really find our sisters humble, obedient, submissive, and ready to accept the teaching that we give to them. There are sisters from other groups that would ask questions, and sometimes it is to show that what we are doing is wrong, so they're not accepting our teaching. And that is sisters from group that we are not in fellowship with. And I just thought that we are to make a different between sisters that are in fellowship and sisters that we are not in fellowship with, who would argue and not accepting a simple teaching of, sister, you don't have a husband, ask any one of the brothers when the meeting over. And they have been doing that gladly and have been getting along quite well.